There's a wonderful sefer called the Karban Ha'ani of Yaakov Katina. So he asks in this week's parsha about Eishes Tefas Tahar. Eishes Tefas Tahar, we learned a little bit about it this morning in the girls' BMP. Right, she has to go and she spends a month sitting in her potential husband's home. And she sits there and she cries for Yerech Yamim. So if you look in the Zohar Chadash says that what is this Yerech Yamim? This month that she spends engaged in crying over her fate, crying over her parents, crying over her gods and her old land. The Zohar Chadash says, Yerech Yamim is a reference to Chodesh Elul. So Rav Yaakov Katina asks in the Karban Ha'ani, he says, what's the pshat? What does Elul have to do with this whole series of psukim? And more specifically, why does it say Yerech Yamim? Just call it Chodesh, call it Yerech. What Yerech Yamim, a month of days? So he answers, he says, Chodesh Elul, he puts the two together, he says, Chodesh Elul is supposed to be a Yerech Yamim. What does that mean? It means that we have Yom and we have Laila. Right? The goal is to turn the Laila, the night of Chodesh Elul, into Yom. What does that mean? It means that just by day, we're generally more awake, or more alert, or we're more active. The goal is that when it comes to Chodesh Elul, Yerech, the month, the entire month, becomes a month of Yamim, of days. And he says specifically in the context of Torah study that a person should try to take the nights of Chodesh Elul, not squander them, but turn them into days. They should be illuminated by our Torah study. So I want to just start off by saying thank you to everyone who I've had the opportunity to learn with. And in particular to thank Moshe Yisrael Halevi. Got the wedding invitation. A.K.A. Jacob Bernstein, and Leah, who on a very prati level helped me to have the opportunity to share Torah, both during the day and in the evening. But also to thank the Rabbanu Shalom in public for the opportunity to have more than a month of Yerech Yamim, of days that were nights, and nights that were days spent in studying Torah. And I thought for the last shir, the last official shir of the summer, maybe we'll do a little something in the morning, for the last official night shir of the summer, I thought we'd reflect on the role of Talmud Torah and the role of Limud Torah in the Tshuva process, which is the time of year in which we find ourselves. The most lamala minateva experience that a Jew can have is Torah study. There's nothing loftier than that. What happens when a Jew studies Torah? You ever think about it? What does it mean to study Torah? A person has to reflect on that. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows lowly human beings, Pashada Basar Vedam, to study his Torah is a plea. It's a wondrous thing. It's a very crazy thing if you think about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took himself and compacted and contracted himself into a text, and he gave it to us to study. And the Malachim put up a fight. When the Jews were getting the Torah, the Malachim said, it makes no sense. People don't deserve the Torah. It's a plia atzuma. It's a tremendous wonder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Torah. So we need to stop every now and again and think, what does it mean to sit and study Torah? What exactly are we doing? When you look in the Zohar, in Parshas Acharei Mos, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, and the Torah are one. Hashem is one with His Torah. What does it mean Hashem is one with His Torah? So I always like to use the mashal that the Baal HaTanya brings in the Sefer HaTanya in the fourth parak. Imagine a person walking down the street and he meets the king. He has the opportunity to come into contact with the king. And the king is there and he's dressed in his royal robes, the entire lavush, maybe he even has his crown on his head. And this fellow, the subject, is so taken by the appearance of the king, and he shakes his hand and he wants to just have an opportunity to be as close to the king as he possibly can be. He talks to the king takes an interest in him and he asks him his name and he wants to know about him, and he's so taken by it. And as he's about to part ways with the king, he says something that's a little bit unusual. He says to the king, "Can I give you a hug? Can I give the king a hug?" It's like that time Mirzov hugged Iraq's one. Can I give the king a hug? And the king says, "Yeah, of course you can give me a hug. I'm your king, I love you, I care for you." So, funny reference. So he goes and he gives the king a big hug. He goes that afternoon, he sees his friend, he says, "You're not going to believe what happened today. I had the opportunity to hug the king." So his friend says, "What do you mean you hugged the king?" He says, "I'm telling you, I was walking down the street, I saw the king, he was there in his robes." So his friend says, "Oh, so you didn't hug the king, you hugged his robes." Now obviously any person of normal seichel understands that if you hug a person who's dressed, that's still considered hugging that individual. Right? It doesn't matter if the king is wearing layer upon layer. The bottom line is concealed within all of those robes, all of the regal garb, is the king himself. And therefore, says the Baal HaTanya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is impossible for us to come into contact with. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? The Tanya writes in the fourth parak, Kadosh Baruch Hu clothed himself in the Torah. He wrapped himself and enveloped himself layer upon layer within the Torah. But that means when we come into contact with the Torah, kiviyachol, we're coming into contact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the closest thing that we have to making direct contact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, using again this mashal of the Baal HaTam. So this is the experience of studying Torah. Again, the most lamalim and ateva, the greatest pliya that humanity has ever known. Tshuva is also completely lamalim and ateva. It's also beyond understanding. You look in the Mesilas Yesharim, in the fourth parak, he says that tshuva doesn't really make sense. I do an aver and I just say I'm sorry, and I say I'm not going to do it again, and all of a sudden what I did wrong disappears. It's levnim yishuras adin that a Kadosh Baruch Hu grants us the concept of tshuva. Again, the Malachim also, the same way they had a problem with Torah, they had a problem with tshuva. When the wicked Menashe, the Yerushalmi describes in Parachelek, how the wicked Menashe, with all of his avodah zarah, decided to do tshuva. And the Malachim put up a fight and said, no way, you can't let him do it. And Kadosh Baruch Hu dug out a hole for him under Kisei HaKavod to let him sneak back in. Right? Again, this concept of tshuva being so lamalim in a tevel, lamalim in a seichel. It's a gift that goes beyond comprehension, beyond reason. And that's why, if you look in source number one, the Bnei Yisrael brings from earlier tzaddikim an idea that every month has a name of Hashem associated with it. We saw it a few times when we learned the Sivas Shalom this summer. The name of Hashem, the arrangement of Hashem's name for the month of Elul is Hey Hey Vav Yud. Right, again, you take Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei. You can arrange it 12 different ways. Hey Hey Vav Yud. Where is it hinted to in the Torah? Says the Bnei Yisrael, it's in source number one, a pasuk in Parshas Veschanan. Utztaka tia lanu ki nishmor lasos is kol a mitzvah zos lefnei Hashem elokeinu kasher tzivanu. That's the name of Hashem for the month of Elul. But it always bothered me. It's a very funny piece of a pasuk. Take a look at it again. It'll be a great merit for us if Nishmor Lasas is called a mitzvah, if you do all the mitzvahs and you practice properly before Hashem. And yeah, the name for Elul is hinted to in that half of a phrase. It'll be a merit for us if. If what? You need the second half of the pasuk to justify the first part of the pasuk. But I'd like to explain for a couple of years now that the idea is that the whole notion of a Chodesh Elul, the whole notion of an opportunity to do tshuva in Chodesh Elul, is beyond justification. And that's why the name of Hashem is hinted dafka in those four words. It's tzaka tia lanu ki. It's a merit for you if what? What can justify? What? Is it mimidas adin that there should be a concept of tshuva, that there should be a Chodesh Elul, that Hashem should give us such a massive opportunity to prepare ourselves for the Yom Ha'aram? And the answer is there's no justification. And that's why it's stuck at Yalanu Ki. It's l'malam b'teva. It doesn't make so much sense. And every single year as we usher in Chodesh Elul and read Parshas Re'eh, you find the remez to this. Parshas Re'eh has 126 psukim. You look at the back of the Chumash, right? There's always a remez to tell you a way to remember the number of psukim in that week's Parsha. What's the remez for Parshas Re'eh, the 126 psukim of Parshas Re'eh? So you look in the back of Mikras Gedolos Chumash, one word, pliya. Pliya. It's a wonderment. And I always think that that's, again, hinting to this idea. Does Elul make sense? Is it rational that there should be such a concept? Says the Mesilas Yesharim, it's lefnim yishuras hadin. It's l'mal menateva. It goes above and beyond things of this world. And this relationship that tshuva and Torah have, being these things that are so much above these world, is something that goes back to ancient days. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us in source number 2, Tanya Shiva Dvarim Nivrau Kodem Shenivra Olam. There were seven things that preceded the world itself. What are the first two on the list? Ve'iluhein Torah U'tshuva. Gan Eden, Gehenem, Kisei HaKavod, Beis HaMikdash, the name of Mashiach. Right, these are the many examples, but Torah and tshuva lead off the list. Torah and tshuva, things that are beyond this world, above this world, preceded this world. They're lamalim in a teva, they're lamalim in a zman. And that link between Torah and tshuva expresses itself in many different ways. The Gemara has in two places in Shas, one in Sanhedrin, one in Chagiga, that a non-Jew is not allowed to study Torah. It's something that's miyuchad for Yisrael. The Jewish people who are themselves are lamalim in a teva. Kodshavrichu Yisrael v'araisa, the Jewish people, Hashem and the Torah, all one. And just like a non-Jew can't engage in the process of Torah, the Medrash Tanhuma Bnei Sasser explains, again there are questions on this Medrash, but the Medrash Tanhuma writes that non-Jews can't engage in the process of tshuva. Okay, maybe obviously the most obvious question is Ninveh, right? But certainly there's some aspect, there's some level of tshuva that non-Jews can't tap into, that only Jews can tap into. Torah is for Jews, tshuva is for Jews. Because the Jewish people are l'malam and atev and l'malam and islam. So we see superficially there are certain links between Torah and tshuva. But I want to try to develop, perhaps through a variety of sources, a deeper connection between the two. Again, not just an external connection. They both happen to precede the creation of the world, or they both happen to be things that are off limits to non-Jews. But I want to create an inherent chibur, an inherent connection, a relationship between Torah and tshuva, and to try to formulate on some level how Torah becomes a method of doing tshuva. Let's look at the psukim in Parshas Nitzavim. Source number 3. Torah tells us, Ki ha-mitzvah zos, asher anochi mitzavacha ayom, lo nefleisim imcha, lo rechokei, it's not far off, it's not distant from you. Right? Pasuk yudale, ki karav alecha davar ma'od, b'fichul v'vavcha la'asoso, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart, it's easy to do. What is ha-mitzvah zos that's being described in Parshas Nitzavim? This mitzvah that is karav alecha davar ma'od, what is this mitzvah? Anyone? What's the mitzvah? Ha-mitzvah hazos? So if you look in the Ramban, and this is followed by Svanra and Abarbanel as well, it's tshuva. Ha-mitzvah hazos, this specific mitzvah, in this context of the psukim of Parshas Nitzavim, this mitzvah that's not so hard to do, is the mitzvah of tshuva, says the Ramban in source number 4. Vanachon ki al kol ha-torah yomar, kol ha-mitzvah sharanochi mitzavach hayom. The Torah in its entirety was already referenced in Parshas Ekev. Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavach hayom. The Torah in its entirety you should practice. What's ha-mitzvah hazos befrat? Says the Ramban, this specific mitzvah is the mitzvah al tshuva and iskaris. It's this theme of tshuva that's being discussed at length here in Parshas Nitzavim. Ki v'ashivos el vavecha v'shavta Hashem lokecha mitzvah shi'asavos anu lasos kein. This is the specific mitzvah of tshuva. This is how many of the great Rishonim, early Achronim, learned these psukim. Ki ha-mitzvah zos is reference to tshuva. However, you read Rashi on the pasuk. Rashi drawing his comments from the Gemara in Erevin, right, in source number 5, in the context of many Mamari Chazal about the chashivas of Torah study, they seem to understand, Chazal seem to have understood this pasuk, or these series of psukim, as the Jewish person's relationship with Torah. What does it mean, lo bashamayimi? What does it mean, it's not far away? What does it mean, kikar v'lach adar mod b'fichul v'avchal asoso? It's all in the context of Torah. That the Torah is not something that's in the heavens, and if it was, you'd have to go up there and get it. That's what Rashi quotes very famously from the Gemara in Erevin in source number 5. V'ayinu da'amar avdimi bar chama bar dosa, ma'idachtiv lo bashamayimi, lo me'ever liyami. If the Torah was in the heavens, you'd have to find a way to climb to the heavens to retrieve it. You'd also have to cross rivers and seas and oceans in order to retrieve the Torah. Just to show you how far this in fact goes, there's a biography of Rav Zalman of Elazhin. Rav Zalman of Elazhin was the brother of, right, his brother was more famous than he, although not necessarily more knowledgeable than he. Right, Rav Zalman of Elazhin's brother was Rav Chaim of Elazhin. The famed disciple of the Vilna Gaon, Rav Zalman of Elazhin was also a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. And Rav Zalman in many ways was a greater Lamdan and Eloi, Eluya Shemayin, than his brother Rav Chaim of Elazhin. So in the biography of Rav Zalman of Elazhin, it's called Toldos Adam. It tells an amazing story. It says Rav Zalman of Elazhin one time was desperate to retrieve a certain sefer from a bookshelf. Happens to be they were doing some work in the Beis Medrash, so they had moved the bookcases wall to wall, you know, bookcases. They took all the bookcases on this wall and they put them up in front of the bookcases on that wall, blocking that, you know, the row behind of Sfarim. Rav Zalman of Elazhin very badly needed a sefer that was in that back shelf. So what did they do? I mean, we're talking about a bookcase that could not be moved with, you know, with all the Sfarim on. It could not be moved by a single human being. It would take many, many people to lift it and to even, you know, slightly move it from its place. Rav Zalman of Elazhin paced back and forth in front of the bookcase, reciting this Maimar Chazal, the Gemara in Erevin, this Rashi, in parts of the Talmud. Lo b'shamayimi, the Torah is not in the heavens, but if it was in the heavens, you'd have to go up there and get it. Lo b'shamayimi, each time louder and louder and stronger. Lo b'shamayimi, the Torah is not in the heavens, but if it was, you'd have to find a way to get it. He did this over and over, building up his strength, and he ran over and with this, you know, Herculean strength, lifted up the bookcase and, you know, put it down the other side. Right? And you can imagine some little kid sitting in the basement, just like twirling his parents, like, you know, like looking like, did anyone else just see that? Right? But lo b'shamayimi. The Torah is so good that if you have to get it, you have to find a way to get it. You have to find a way to get it. So we have on the one hand some of the Rishonim learning ki ha-mitzvah zos as a reference to tshuva. And on the other hand, you have Chazal seemingly understanding the series of psukim as a reference to Talmud Torah. So which is it? Now obviously when we have a machlokas of the greats, we like to try to reconcile it as best we can. Can we find a way to say that it's really one and the same? And the answer is we can. Rav Aaron Cutler, in a famous Yesod that's spoken about by many, puts the two together. Rav Aaron Cutler says, is it Torah? Is it Tshuva? Says Rav Aaron Cutler, it's one and the same. Because even though Tshuva, in the classic sense, you learn the second parak of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, Tshuva means, parak beis, halacha beis, means abandoning your old ways and stopping your practices of averos and repenting in that sense. That's how we usually view Tshuva, and that's correct. But he says there's another aspect of Tshuva. Because if the whole nature of chet is richuk, is distancing ourselves from Hashem, then Tshuva by definition means coming close to Hashem. Well, what's the best way to come close to Hashem? Right? The mashal that we saw from the Tanya. The mashal of hugging the king, of coming as close, coming into contact with Kadosh Baruch Hu through the study of Torah. The Nefesh HaChayim writes in source number 6, Esek HaTorah HiMechaperas HaKol HaAvonos Shal Nefesh HaChotas. The study of Torah is Mechaper on all Averos. Why is that so? Says Rav Aaron Cutler very simply. Because if Chet causes distancing from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then Torah is the best way to get back in touch with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mishnah Pirkei Avos, a person who sits and he's Osek B'Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is with him, his Shechina is with him. Shechina sits by his side, records his deeds, and offers him schar. And Rav Aaron Cutler points to the Rambam in the 7th parak of Hilchos Teshuvah, source number 7, which seems to highlight this idea almost explicitly. Gedola Teshuvah Shemekareves HaSa'adam L'Shechina. What's the point of tshuva? In a nutshell, says the Rambam, great is tshuva that it brings a person close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says Rav Aaron Cutler, what better way is there to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than through the study of Torah? It's the best way, it's the fastest way, it's the most direct way to come into contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the famous Yisod of Rav Aaron Cutler. Again, he develops it at length. But the truth is, Chazal himself seemed to have hit on this idea, that Torah can be a form of tshuva. The Pasuk in Hosea tells us, Kruim Achim Dvarim Veshuva Hashem. And the Medrash commenting on the Pasuk, Yarov Kamatar Likli, this Medrash Sifrei, it's source number 8, the Medrash on Dvarim, explaining that Pasuk in Hosea, where it's bolded, Kruim Achim Dvarim, take for yourself, Dvarim Veshuvu, and return to Hashem. Ve'ein Dvarim El Divrei Torah. The best way to get back to Hashem is through Divrei Torah. If the goal of tshuva is to return, to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to cleanse ourselves from that distancing that we've created through our sins, then Torah is the best way to do it. So really, there is no machlokas. There's really no machlokas between the Ramban and the Sfarim and the Abarbanel say the Pesukim are talking about tshuva, and Chazal say it's talking about Torah. It says Rav Aaron Cutler, it's one and the same. Torah is, again, probably the greatest mechanism for achieving tshuva. Someone once asked Rav Soloveitchik, this was printed in that interesting sefer that came out not long ago, Thinking Aloud, someone's conversations, private chats with the Rav, on page 25. So he asked him one time, he said to the Rav, he said, Rav Soloveitchik, are there any minhagim for the month of El? Happens to be a lot of minhagim for the month of El. But in the Rav's world, when he was asked the question, are there any minhagim for the month of El? He responded, sure, hasmada and learning. Hasmada and learning. Now, you could say that's the generic answer for any time a person wants to become a better Jew, learn more. Right? But I think what the Rav is tapping into is this idea. The Rav understood that, like Rav Aaron Cutler is developing here, that Torah is the greatest way to get back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Torah becomes a form of tshuva. In the Sefer Kadosh Shel, a famous Sefer that's all about the month of El, it quotes from the Ragachar. The Ragachar Gaon of Yosef Rosen, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was one of the greatest masmidim of the last 100+ years. One of the greatest Torah minds, one of the most dedicated Torah scholars, someone who saw every inch of the universe through Torah. And yet the Ragachavar was quoted as well as saying in this Sefer that a person has to step up their learning in the month of El. And he gave the exact same yesod as Rav Aaron Cutler. That again, if Chet causes us to be distant from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when we learn, we sit opposite a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like it says in Pirkei Avos. And again, says the Ragachav, that this is the old, so many Gedolim, many Tzaddikim throughout the generations were tapping into the same idea. It's rooted in the Rambam, it's rooted in the Chazal, it's rooted in the Rishonim. Again, it's expressed by Rav Aaron Cutler, the Ragachav, Rav Soloveitchik. Wherever you look, this is a theme that seems to come up. A great way to get back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu is through the study of Torah. But let's try to go a step deeper. Every day in Shemona Esrei, source number 9, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sorasecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, return us to your Torah. Which again hints to this idea that the way to return to Hashem is somehow very much linked to Torah. Now we know this, we daven every day, many times a day. We know this statement of our Shemona Esrei. But there's a lesser known pasuk that I think expresses the same idea. And Chazal seem to learn it this way in the Gemaras that talk about the arrangement of the brachos of Shemona Esrei. Pasuk in the sixth parak of Yeshaya. It's the Haftorah that we read on Parshas Yisro, if I'm not mistaken. Pasuk says at the end of the pasuk, "Ulevavo yavin v'shav v'rafela." When the heart is yavin, understands, then v'shav, then a person comes back v'rafela, and then the person can be healed. A person can undergo the process of spiritual healing. And the Gemara sees this pasuk as the source for the order of the brachos of Shemona Esrei. First, a person has to say atachonin. A person has to have bina, has to have understanding. Ulevavo yavin. And then afterwards, the Gemara says, right? Hashivenu avinu l'sor asecha. So the arrangement that Yeshaya Navi is presenting in this pasuk is exactly the order that we try to follow in our Shemona Esrei. Ulevavo yavin. First, a person has to learn. A person has to have bina. A person has to have understanding. And then, right, that can be a mechanism or a stepping stone to Hashivenu avinu l'sor asecha, that through that Torah, I'm able to come back to Hashem. What exactly does that mean? And why is that so? Again, it's the same idea that we've been developing, but let's try to understand a little deeper. Why is it so? Why is it that Torah, besides, again, the closeness, the mashal, the valatanya, why is it that Torah is such a great mechanism for tshuva? So I think on a very practical level, we could explain based on a var from the Katzar. The Gemara says, what should a person do if he sees troubles come his way? Person struggling, person suffering, yisurin, all sorts of difficulties in one's life. What should you do? You should make a cheshbon and nefesh. What happens if you make a cheshbon and nefesh and you can't find anything? So the Gemara says in Brachos and Dafei, you should say, you know what I did wrong? Bittul Torah. Bittul Torah. I could be learning more. So normally we understand it. I'm perfect in all my mitzvos, but there's always room for more learning, and that's my problem. The Kotzker Rebbe had a much deeper pshat. And the truth is, it's a deeper pshat, but it's also more simplistic pshat. It's probably more true to what the Gemara actually meant. Look at source number 11. Emes Ve'amuna, collection of teachings from the Kotzker Rebbe. Quotes the Gemara in Brachos, Imroa Adam Shiyasurin Ba'anolav, Yafashvesh Ma'isav, V'chulu, Pishvesh V'lo Matzah, if a person investigates their actions, V'lo Matzah, they don't find anything wrong, they think that they've got it all right, Yitla Mevitl Torah, they should assume that the punishments are coming their way because of a lack of diligence in Torah study. So explain the Katzik Rebbe, Hainu Hasiba Shalom Matzah Yitla Mevitl Torah. It's not that the Bittul Torah is my mistake. The reason I didn't think I had anything wrong with my character, or with my Shmir Shabbos, or with my Lashon Hara, or with my Kashrus, the reason I thought everything was just so great in my life is because what? Because I'm unlearned. If I would study more, if I wasn't such a batlan, if I would study Torah more diligently, if I learned through the Sefer Chavetz Chaim and Shmir Salashon, I'd realize my Lashon Hara is not so perfect. And if I learned through the third Chelek Mishnah Berurah, including the Hakdama, where he yells at people that if you don't learn Hilchos Shabbos, you're not going to be able to keep Shabbos, I'd realize that all the things I thought were totally fine are not at all fine. So says the Kotzker Rebbe, Hasiba Shalom Matzah, the reason you didn't find anything when you made the Cheshbon and Nefesh is because you're not studying seriously. Ki asar min haTorah misam es einav. The lack of Torah blinds one's eyes milabit barat, tzafen bekirbo. You don't recognize all of your problems. You think everything is just fine. So on a very practical level, why is Torah a great technique to achieving tshuva? Because how do I even begin the tshuva process if I don't know what I did wrong? And how do I know what I'm doing right or wrong if I'm not studying Torah? So the Kotzker Rebbe puts the two together. When a person studies Torah, then they can make an honest cheshbon and nefesh. But again, to go one step deeper, to understand again the relationship between Torah and tshuva, or as we're going to present it now, bina and el. What is the connection between bina, ulevavo yavin, a person has to come to a state of bina, and then vishav v'rafilo? And how does this relationship between Torah and tshuva express itself again in the relationship between bina, the concept of understanding, and chodesham? So I think as a starting point, if you look at the Bnei Yisasar, and again, you can't understand any month, or any holiday, without really studying the writings of Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, Zuchuso Yagin Aleinu, the Bnei Yisasar. He writes in his writings on Chodesh Elul, he points out something which obviously will be a gem for us in uncovering some of the secrets of this relationship. He points out that Elul is Gematria Bina, source number 12. Elul has the Gematria Bina. Elul is a month where a person, again, can achieve an understanding. And according to what we've explained, that understanding is the stepping stone towards complete tshuva. Ulevavo yavin v'shav rafalo. A person comes to bina, and only then can they come to tshuva. And Bina happens to be, and I'm not going to go into this now because it's beyond my understanding and it's beyond a little bit the scope of our shiur, but the concept of Bina as being associated with tshuva has very deep Kabbalistic roots. If you count in the 10 spheres from the bottom up, if I'm trying to count from this world, moving myself lamala, lamala, counting starting from the bottom, right, of the rung, from Malchus, Yesod, Hod, going backwards, Netzach, Teferes, Gevura, Chesed, Bina, right, Bina is really the eighth, if I count from the ground up, it's the eighth from the ground. Eight we know is lamala minateva. Things of this world operate within sevens. Things that are lamala minateva are the realm of the eights. An idea the Maharal develops at length. So this idea of Bina being connected to tshuva, again, it's a whatever that means exactly, there's a lot to develop within that. But it makes a lot of sense that Elul somehow comes hand in hand with Bina. And that's why the B'nai Yisrael tells us that Bina is Gematria El. They both share the Gematria of 67. Okay. But if Bina is 67 and Elul is 67, does the number 67 have anything to do with Torah? Because if we're trying to say that the Bina, this achievement, this understanding of Torah, is what allows the Elul to grant us the possibility of tshuva, is the number 67, does that resonate with us as a number that's relevant to Torah in its entirety? I don't know, but I think of numbers that have to do with Torah. I think 613. Right, what numbers do we think of when we talk about the concept of Torah? 67, a number that should be in our vocabulary? Should be part of our thinking? So I was zochet to find an answer in the writings of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. Yitzchak Isaac Chaver was also a Talmud of the Gra, and he wrote Hagos. He wrote some Hasagos, some notes on the Sefer Malas HaTorah. Malas HaTorah is written by the brother of the Gra, Avram, the brother of the Gra. And in the footnotes, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, in Os Lamed Aleph, he reveals to us a big secret. He says, "I will show you what the number 67 has to do with Torah." You know, often if a person wants to understand the document, you can read the beginning, you can read the end, you can get the gist of what it's about. If I'm reading a legal document, so there's going to be some type of either an abstract on the cover or an introduction, something that sums up what this whole document is about. And often there'll be a conclusion. If I read an introduction or a conclusion, I can often gain a sense of what this entire document is about. The Torah is really a series of documents, right? It's five books, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And therefore, if I read the introduction to these books, or if I read the conclusion to these books, I kind of get a sense of what the book is about. Says Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, take a look in Source 13. He says, if you take the last pasuk of each of the five books of the Torah, the last pasuk in Bereishis, the last pasuk in Shemos, the last pasuk in Vayikra, and he said, you add up the number of words in these pasukim, you have exactly 67 words. You have 11 words in the last pasuk in Bereishis, 16 words in the last pasuk in Shemos, 12 in Vayikra, 16 in Bamidbar, 12 again in Devarim, for a total of 67 gematria, bina, gematria, ela. The conclusion of the Torah, the concluding line of each of these five books of the Torah, right, and their words, somehow equal 67, which again is this idea of bina. The goal of Torah is to bring me to a state of understanding. That I should be able to understand reality. I should be able to understand the world. I should be able to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for humanity. But it's not only the conclusion that reveals to us the secret. It's the introduction as well. The Gemara says in Maseches Bava Basra that the face of Moshe, Pnei Moshe kepnei Chama, Pnei Yoshua kepnei Levana. Source 14. Zakenim Shabosu Ador Amru Pnei Moshe kepnei Chama. Moshe was like the sun, and Yoshua like the moon, reflecting, radiating, right, somehow bouncing back and sharing the light from the sun. That was the role of Yoshua, to continue to be the Hemshech of Moshe Rabbeinu, to continue to spread the light of the Torah. The Vilna Gaon says, what does it mean that Pnei Moshe kepnei Chama? That Moshe is like the sun. In what way is Moshe like the sun? And what's the secret of this idea of Chama? Zichru Torah Moshe. Moshe is the one who transmits to us the Torah. Chama, says the Vilna Gaon, is 53. How many parshios are there in the Torah? So you'll tell me there's 54. But if you look in the Zohar talks about the Gan parshios, the 53 parshios. How do you get 53? Maybe Nitzav and Vayelech are combined. There's different approaches in Svarim, but there's a concept in Kabbalah that there are 53 parshios to the Torah. Says the Vilna Gaon in the Zaderes Eliyahu, Chama is Gematria 53. So Pnei Moshe, Pnei Chama, Moshe radiated Moshe's shining countenance, like the sun, right? Moshe's the one who opened up for us these 53 gates, these 53 parshios. Okay. But says the Vilna Gaon, if you look at the word Chama, You can break it down even further. You can break it down into Memchas, the 48 secondary parshios, and then the Hey represents the five most major parshios. What are the five most major parshios? The parsha that opens each of the five books of the Torah. Right? Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Shemos. Parshas, these are titles in and of themselves. The entire book is named for that parsha. Right? So that parsha, in many ways, says the Vilna Gaon, to use his language, is a higher shar, is a greater gate. There's a greater, it's a more, not that, God forbid, any area of Torah is more elevated than any other area. But in some ways, on some level, right, it's a higher level of Bina. There's more Bina, there's more knowledge, there's more of what Hashem wants packed into those opening parshios. Says the Vilna Gaon, what happens if we add up the first pasuk of each of the five books of the Torah? The Yitzchak Eisenhower showed us the last pasuk in the five books of the Torah have 67 words in it. What about the first pasuk of each of the five books of the Torah? And lo and behold, you'll find once again that there are in fact 67 words. Now, you're going to try to call me out on it. And you'll notice that on the pasuk for Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis Hashamayim Ve'Eis Haaretz, I wrote 8 exclamation point. Because the Vilna Gaon explains, and again, this is certainly beyond the scope of our shiur, he has many pages to try to explain this to us, and let's be honest for a second. The Vilna Gaon wasn't trying to kvetch out a remez to make it work. I've been reading a lot of the writings of Rav Soloveitchik. I have to give a shiur, not I have to, I've chosen to give a shiur in the coming weeks on the Rav, the impact of Chassidus on the Rav, which is an interesting topic. So if anyone has any insights, I'd love to hear. But I've been reading a lot of the writings of the Rav to try to present my thesis about the Rav as a Chassidus Rebbe. But in my studies, one of the things that is very clear about Rav Soloveitchik is he was an Anav Ma'od, and he was a very honest person, a brutally honest person with himself, with his Talmidim, and all the more so with the Torah. Right? The most famous story of the Rav, and the different accounts of it, maybe happened more than once, where the Rav presented a shir and someone asked a question. The most direct account I saw, I think, was from Rabbi Riskin, where he told the story. He said there was someone who he had brought to the shir, someone who was in a lower learning track. He convinced him to come to the Rav's shir. The Rav presented this whole mega shir, and this fellow had a question. He turned to Rabbi Riskin, asked him the question in the back of the class. He said, "It's a good question." He asked the Rav. He raised his hand. He asked the Rav. The Rav ripped into him. And afterwards, right, this boy was terribly embarrassed. And after it was over, the Rav sat at his desk. The Rav was giving a Yoredei Ashir. They were learning Pesachim. After that, he was giving a Yoredei Ashir. He sat at the Yoredei Ashir file. And the Rav sat there at his desk for 20 minutes thinking. And he realized this young man's question was right. And he got up and he said, Where's Friedberg? Take me to Friedberg." He took him across the street. They took the Rav down from the shir room down to the cafeteria where this Friedberg was sitting. He walked in and he said, "I thought about it. You're right. And tomorrow we'll start the shir over again." To be so brutally honest, to not fudge the Torah, to not try to make the sources work, to make sure that everything works out perfectly. If Rav Soloveitchik did it, I can only imagine the Vilna Gaon did it. So I don't think the Vilna Gaon came up with this idea just to make it work with 67, because it would be a nice, you know, that one day some clown like myself would get up and put it all together for you and show you 67, Bina, Elul, right? That's I don't think that's the Metzias. So when the Vilna Gaon tells us that the Beis of Bereishis, which is, we know, large in the Sefer Torah, that the Beis of Bereishis has to be counted as its own word, as its own shar, that all of the Bina in the universe is packed into that single letter, and therefore that letter has to be counted as its own word, right? In order to get 8 words, so to speak, in the first pasuk of the Torah, as opposed to 7, which appears to our eyes, Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis Hashamayim Ve'Eis Haaretz, looks like 7. The Vilna Gaon says it's really 8 because the Beis of Bereishis is its own word. So we can take the Vilna Gaon's word for it for now. And again, if you want to understand how he comes to that conclusion, you'll study the writings of the Vilna Gaon. But the point I'm trying to make is what? Is that the introduction to this document, again, it's not a nice way to refer to the Torah as a document, the introduction to the Torah Hashem, the opening psukim produced 67 words, and the closing psukim of each of the five books of the Torah produced 67 words. Again, alluding to the fact that what's the point of this entire document? The point of this entire document is Bina, understanding. And through that understanding, Bina's Gematria 67, Elul's Gematria 67. To the degree that we understand, to the degree that we study this text, Ulevavu Yavin, then Vishavar Afalo. Atachonin La'adam Das, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sorasecha. They go hand in hand. The Yisod of Rav Aaron Cutler, the Yisod of the Rambam, the closest that we try to achieve to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Tshuva and through Torah study. One of the most interesting Ramazim that we have for Chodesh Elul, that's brought from the Arizal. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings it. Bnei Yisachar also brings it in the name of the Arizal. It's based on a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, in Source 16. And again, we know Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, many different Ramazim. But one of the more interesting ones is in the context of a person who kills Bishogeg and has to go to an Ir Miklat. And the Torah describes the circumstance in which this person committed his crime. Source 16, Vasher Lo Tzada V'Alokim Inali Ado. This person did not lie in ambush. Hashem made it happen. Two guys were chopping wood in the forest, and the axe head flies off, and it kills someone by accident, and he runs to an Ir Mikla. V'samti lecha makom asher yanus shama. Hashem provides a place for the person who killed Bishogeg to flee. Ina liyado v'samti lecha, says the Arizal, quoted by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the Bnei Yisachar, is Rashi Tevos Elul. What on earth does this have to do with Elul? What does that have to do with El? Your Mikla? What does that have to do with El? So I'll offer what I think is a very simple explanation. So I'm talking about El in Zman. What El is in time and your Mikla is in place. It's a safe haven within time. El is that safety net, a place for us to hide out before the Yom Naram come and they come hard when they come. But I want to say it very simple, based on what we've explained tonight, Torah and Tshuva. What do we know about an Ir Mikla? What are the rules of a person who unfortunately kills Bishogi and has to go to an Ir Mikla? One of the most basic principles the Gemara in Makos tells us, Source 17, Tana. Talmud Shagala. A Talmud who goes into Galus. A Talmud who is forced to exile himself. Migalin Rabo Imo. His Rebbe goes with him. You have to give him Torah. There's an obligation to supply him with Torah. What's the source? The Torah says, Vachai. He should be able to live in that place. Avid Le Midi Tetehavi Le Chiyusa. You have to supply him with a means of survival. And a Jew without Torah is as good as dead. And a Jew without his own Rebbe's Torah. The late Rosh Hashiva from KBR of Goldvich used to say, it's not only, I think that's who I heard this idea from, or read this idea from, it's not only that anyone has to go, you have to make sure there are Shiurim, make sure he has an internet connection so he can download Shiurim and YU Torah, you have to make sure that his Rebbe is sitting there in Golus, in exile, in this Ir Miklat with him. Because if not, he's as good as dead. So what's the pshat? What do you see the nature of an Ir Miklat is? Right? An Ir Miklat is a place where what? If there's one thing you can take with you to the Ir Miklat, it's what? It's your Torah. And I think that's the connection between this remez of Ina Liyadu V'samti Lecha and Chodesh Elul. If Elul is the Zman of Tshuva, if Elul is the Zman of Torah, right, and an Ir Miklat is a place where a Jew is able to take his Torah with him, so we see how all of these different concepts come together so beautifully. And I think that explains why yeshivas start in the month of Elul. Why don't yeshivas start on Rosh Hashanah? Yeshiva should start with the new year. Why does a yeshiva dafka start in the month of Elul? Because again, what better time to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're serious about our commitment to Torah, to increase our asmat in Torah, the minhag that Rav Salafetchik said, the minhag of Elul is asmat in Torah. What better way to show that than opening our yeshivas and starting a new zman of Limud Torah in the month of Elul? Okay, so I think this is a tremendous yesod, a tremendous secret to help us be successful in the month of Elul. But obviously with every opportunity that comes in opposition. And just to conclude for a few more minutes, if you'll give me 5 more minutes, if anyone needs to go, please don't feel that you're being held hostage. But we have to understand the challenges. Because whenever there's a tremendous opportunity, right, in accordance with the greatness of the opportunity, there's a Yetzirah that's going to combat us and try to stop us and throw impediments in our ways. There's another remez, a lesser known remez, not brought in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it's not one of the famous ones, it's not Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, it's not even Ina Liyadu V'Samti Lecha, it's not Ish L'Re'el V'Matanos L'Avyonim, right, these are the ones that are brought by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Rav Moshe Wolfson in his Muna Sitecha, on the Mo'adim, on page 104, he brings a very interesting remez to Chodesh Elul, a pasuk in Vayikra Perachav Vav, in Source 18. V'naflu Oyveichem L'Feneichem L'Charev. That your enemies will fall before you by the sword. Elul is a time where we're engaged in a battle. You think about battling, from a Torah perspective, battling means Torah. Milchamta shel Torah. A good Beis Medrash is not a place that sounds like a library. A good Beis Medrash is a place where there's milchamta shel Torah. Where there's a cult Torah, where the people are fighting over Torah. Battling it out, various svaros. This one presents his side of the machlokas, and he presents his side, and he fights for Rashi, and he fights for the Rambam, and they battle it out. Right? Until they come to some type of clarification. But Elul is a month where we need to take out our swords and take down our enemies by the sword. I'll add my own remez that I found in Source 19, this week's Parsha. Ki Hashem Elokecha Mishalech B'kerav Machanecha La'atzilcha U'leteit Oyvecha Lefanecha. Also, Rashi Tevos Elul. But again, in the context of battling, What is this? Why are the Ramazim, why do the Kadosh Baruch Hu sprinkle within the Torah hints to Chodesh Elul, dafkin these scenes of battle? And again, it's this idea of Mechanta Shel Torah. The month of Elul is a time when a Jew has to prepare to be a soldier. A soldier to battle on behalf of Torah and to battle with Torah. What does that mean? Every month we know has a shevet associated with it. 12 months, 12 shvatim. The Arizal says, what shevet corresponds to the month of Elul? Anyone know? Take a look. Shevet Gad. Shevet Gad is the shevet that corresponds to the month of Elul. It's based on the arrangement of how they camped in the Midbar. Right. We started with the Degel Machane Yehuda. Yehuda Yisachar Zvulan. Nisan Yer Sivan. Reuven Shimon Gad. Tammuz Av Elul. Elul is Gad. Yisachar says, B'chinas HaShvatim Yine Elul Yisiyaches L'Shevet Gad. What do we know about Shevet Gad? What was Shevet Gad praised for? The military prowess, their ability to fight. When Moshe Rabbeinu praises Shevet Gad at the end of the Torah, and he describes about them that they have this unique ability, taraf zroa afkad kod, that they know how to sever the arm and the head simultaneously, explains Rashi in Source 22, harugein hayu nikarin. When someone was killed on the battlefield, you knew when God was there. They left a mark. They had a unique ability, a special fighting technique, where they were able to cut off the head and the arm in one fell swoop. It's an image of a soldier. The image of Shevet Gad on the battlefield. So when Chodesh Elul comes around and we start to see Ramazim about battling, we know we're engaged in a serious battle. We know we're bringing out our best soldiers, Shevet Gad. We know there's a major battle here. And it's that battle against the Yetzer Hara who's trying to stop us from engaging in Talmud Torah and trying to find a way back to Kadosh Baruch Hu so that we should be Zoche B'din in a few short days from now. To come stand before Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be prepared with our weapon, to be armed with the many hours of Lima Torah from the month of Elul, hopefully in our hand. Because the greatest weapon that we have in fighting the Yetzer Hara, of course, is Torah. How do we know that? That's a famous Gemara. Famous Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, Source 23. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Yetzer Hara, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an antidote. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bnei Yisrael, my dear children, Barati Yetzer Hara, Varasi Lo Torah Taflin. I created the Yetzer Hara, and I created Torah as the antidote. If you want to be able to fight back, if you want to be able to not do so many averos in the coming year, and you want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu before the new year arrives, that you're serious about that, the midug for the month of Elul, says Rav Salvechik, is to be more of a masmid when it comes to our Lima Torah. That's how we destroy our enemies. That's the attitude of the Shevet Gad, not just the physical soldier on the battlefield, but the Jews battling in the base medrash. And that's what Rav Wolfson, I think, is hinting to in this remez. V'naflu oyveichem lefneichem lecharef. Destroy the enemy with the sword. What's the sword of the Jewish people? Tefillah, sometimes the sword of the Jewish people. But the Medrash Tanchuma says in Source 24, Ein cherev el Torah. The cherev, the sword of the Jewish people, is Torah. When we have Torah, we have our sword drawn. Asher bachar banu mikola amin. Bachar usios cherev. When we have our sword, when we're able to fight against this enemy, this Yetzer Hara, who also is sometimes called cherev in the Zohar and Parshas Beshalach, he also has his sword drawn. This is the time to really show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to fight. We're not going to give up. We're not going to allow Bittul Torah to destroy us. As the Chafetz Chaim once explained, Bittul Torah is like suicide. Bittul Torah is like suicide. Because as long as a person still has his weapon, you can win a battle, you can lose a battle. There's always a chance you can fight back. But once your weapons are taken away, there's zero chance of you winning the war. When a person bevatel the Torah, it's suicide. You've given up. You've surrendered to the enemy. And therefore, the month of Elul gives us the opportunity to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how diligent we can be and how appreciative we can be of His Torah. The story is told that Rav Tzvi Elimelech, the Rebbe of Beluzhov, during the First World War, it was a very difficult time for the world, difficult time for Klal Yisrael. And he sat in his study, learning Be'iyun, Ketzos, Nesivos, delving into the depths of, you know, Talmudic analysis. And some of his Talmidim, some of the Hasidim came in and they said, Rebbe, what are you doing? This is not a time for learning Ketzos and Nesivos. This is not a time for working out Hakiras and answering up Rambams. This is a time for a Jew to be davening. This is a time for a Jew to be pulling the Tehillim off the shelf. This is what you're learning. This is the time for this. And he said, this is dafka the thing we need to be doing. Because when there's war in the world, how do we decrease the war of the world? How do we get the war to stop? We channel that spirit of war towards what? Towards Melchamta Shel Torah. It's dafka time to be a masmid in Torah. Dafka time to show a deepening of our commitment to Torah. And Chazal hinted this themselves. In source 25, the famous Gemara that ends Maseches Brachos, we know it from our Tefillah on Shabbos. Talmidei Chacham marbim shalom ba'olam shenamar. How do we know that Talmidei Chachamim bring peace to the world? Because the pasuk says, "V'chol banayich limudi Hashem v'rav shalom banayich al tikri banayich ela bonayich." Talmidei Chachamim build up the world; they bring peace to the world. Says the Chassam Sofer in one of his drushos, in the first volume of the drushos, in his drusha for Parsha Zachar, Talmidei Chachamim bring peace to the world. You ever see two Talmidei Chachamim go at it? Right? It's anything but peaceful. Sometimes their mom is ready to attack each other. Literally, their sleeves are rolled up. They're ready to throw punches in the base medrash. Right? Macham tishal Torah. So how do Talmidei Chacham bring peace to the world? They're always fighting. They're arguing over their shita. This one has this psak. This one has that psak. Explains the Chassam Sofer. Because when the rabbis are fighting in Torah, they bring peace to the world. There's less fighting in the streets. There's less war in the world. The Chassam Sofer writes in that drasha for Parsha Zachar. To the degree that we're willing to engage in the battle against the Yitzhahara by drawing our sword of Torah, to realize Barasi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Barasi Yitzhahara, but Barasi Torah Tavlin. I created Torah as the antidote. This is the way to fight back. To the degree that we appreciate that, we'll have a good Chodesh El. And that's why the Yitzhahara will do anything in the world. And watch yourself. Pay attention to yourself, honestly. The Yitzhahara will do anything in the world to get you not to learn Torah in the month of El. You'll see. You'll see as you get closer and closer, it's going to get harder and harder. Especially those of us who spent the summer learning, because we feel like I spent the summer learning, so now I need a little break at the end of the summer. This is definitely the time to increase our learning, not God forbid, to slow down. We come up with all sorts of other ways to do tshuva. Maybe I'll do fasting, and I'll go to the mikvah, and I'll come up with all sorts of interesting things in Avodah Hashem, which are all very valuable and worthwhile. But the Yitzhahara says, I'll give you all those as long as you don't have Torah. When the Malachim to fight Yaakov with you, Rav Elchanan Wasserman asked, why didn't he fight against Avram? Why didn't he fight against Yitzchak? Why did the Malach of Esav wait to fight against Yaakov Avinu? And the answer is, because Avram could have all of his chesed, Esav could have all of his avodah, all of his tefillah. But when a Jew has Torah, the Malach Bava says, the Yitzhahara says, I'm upset about that. That's the weapon of the Jewish people. And I'm going to do whatever I can to take that sword out of their hands, to disable and to stop them from having the koach to fight against me. And again, therefore, to the degree that we hold on to the Torah, we hold on to this weapon, we can battle the Yetzer. I'll just conclude by tying it into the world in which we live today. You know, Elul, the Svarim say, is an opportunity to bring the end of Galus. Some say that the Gula is going to come in Elul, and that's true both on a prat level and on a klal level. On a prat level, our personal Galus, caused by our Chatan, comes to an end with the Tshuva process of Elul. But on a klal level, as we increase our Torah study in the month of Elul, we have the opportunity to bring Mashiach. Why are we still in Galus? Very simply, in the second to last source, the Rachayim HaKadosh writes in Parshas Tetzaveh, Uvederach Remez, Yisbarach Asav al Divrei Maimer, as it says in the Zohar HaKadosh, Ki Dalid Galios Shal Yisrael Kol Echad Mehem Nigalu Mimenu B'Zuchus Echad. The four exiles of Jewish history each correspond to a different leader in Jewish history. The first Galus corresponds to Avram Avinu. The second Galus, Paras Umadai, corresponds to Yitzchak Avinu. The third Galus, the Galus of Yavan, corresponds to Yaakov Avinu. We're in Galus Edom, the fourth and final Galus. Says the Zohar Chadash, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the fourth and final Galus corresponds to Moshe Rabbeinu. Zichru Toras Moshe. Yaakov Avinu learned Torah, but Moshe was the ultimate personality when it comes to Torah. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, you know why this Galus is schlepping on? Because we're not serious enough about our Torah. V'lezen is arech ha-galus, ki kol od she'ein oskim b'torah v'mitzvos, until we take Torah and mitzvos seriously, ein Moshe chafetz ligo, in batlanim in ha-Torah. If we're not osik in Torah, if we're not masmidim, if we don't push ourselves to be diligent in Torah study, we don't appreciate the gift of hugging the King, the contact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the way that is most possible for a human being. If we don't appreciate that, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm in no rush to get you out of the Galus. The four questions that we ask on the Seder night. The fourth question, right? On all other nights of the year, sometimes what? Sometimes we're Mesubin, sometimes we're not Mesubin. Halayla zeh kulanu Mesubin. And the Svarim HaKadoshim sometimes explain, kulanu Mesubin, we're all lounging around. We all have our feet up, sitting back, waiting for Mashiach to come, instead of pushing ourselves forward, instead of taking the initiative and working hard to bring the Gula. The Gullus, the loss of Torah is the Gullus itself. Avnei Nezer writes in the Nos Desha, he says, you look in the Parshios of Maaseh and Devarim, the Parshios that we read during the Bein HaMetzarim, you'll notice there's no Zohar. There's very little Medrash written on those Parshios. Because dafka, as the world is going through their Beinu Mitzarim, through their Gullus, the Torah is at a loss. The Torah has nothing to say. To the degree that we allow the Gullus to overcome us, we lose Torah. And to the degree that we fight back with Torah, we overthrow the Gullus, so we bring the Gula. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zocha to have a good Elul. We should have a lot of Bina, Gematria Elul. We should have a lot of Torah as a stepping stone, again, as not just a stepping stone, but as Tshuva itself. Because to the degree that we've distanced ourselves from Hashem, Torah is the key to coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to realize the value of every single word of Torah. As the Rebbe Yosef Chabuna Pershischa said, if a person knew what his neshama looked like after an hour of learning Torah, to compare it to what it looked like before, you wouldn't recognize yourself. But we can only see, he said, the spiritual change that takes place from an hour of Torah. He says, if we could see what happened to us in that hour, we literally wouldn't have Bechira anymore. We would give up our Bechira, that's it. The game would be up. But unfortunately, we live in a world of Hester Pan. We don't value our Torah. We don't appreciate it. We don't see how those transformative moments of Torah study bring the Gula that much closer. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zocha to continue to learn Torah. I hope we'll gather again somewhere, somehow. Continue to learn Torah together, hopefully in Yerushalayim. But until we get there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a desire, a cheshek to learn Torah. And again, through that Torah, we'll be zochet to tshuva. And Emir Tz Hashem, a gemar chasimah tova, this coming Rosh Hashanah. Shkai.